This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-ma'uthi rahmatan lil alamin nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim ma ba'd. Al-yawm al-awwal min shahri Rajab 1445 al-muwafiq li 13 من شهر جانواري 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك فقه الأسماء. So this is the lecture that we have every month. So alhamdulillah, we bring it here physically for the first time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and help us to maintain the discipline of coming, inshallah. So last time, I don't remember exactly which name we were talking about, but I guess it was Al-Aziz Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir. I don't know whether we talk about Mutakabbir or we don't talk about Mutakabbir. So, and nobody confirms to us, so let's move to the next name, which is in the next ayah. So we took from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. We're done with that. And then هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن العزيز الجبار المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر. Yeah, so the only one that I have doubt whether we talk about it or not is the name المتكبر. So inshallah, it doesn't matter. We can come back to it بإذن الله عز وجل if we realize that we did not do it yet. So let's move to the next ayah. يقول الله عز وجل هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى. So today we'll be dealing with the name الخالق البارئ المصور. Three names that are related to each other, almost synonymous to each other. Yeah, Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari', Al-Musawwir. قال وقد جمع الله هذه الأسماء الثلاثة في قوله سبحانه وتعالى. And these three names, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combined them in his statement. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هو الله الخالق, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى. And all of the good and beautiful names belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean? It means أي هو المنفرد بخلق جميع المخلوقات وبرأ بحكمته جميع البريات وصور بإحكامه وحسن خلقه جميع الكائنات فخلقها وأبدعها وفطرها في الوقت المناسب لها وقدر خلقها أحسن تقديره وصنعها أتقن صنعه وهداها لمصالحها وأعطى كل شيء خلقه اللائق به ثم هدى كل مخلوق لما خيئ وخلق له. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he is Allah al-Khaliq. Al-Khaliq means the one who creates. Al-Bari', you know, the one who, you know, Al-Bari' also is the creator, you know, creating from nothing, the unique kind of creation. Al-Musawwir, and the one who puts the image of everyone. فأحسن خلقه. صوره فأحسن خلقه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything out of nothing without copying from anyone, and also put us in that beautiful and excellent image. As he says, لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. We have created human being in the best form of creation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إذا ضربت فلا تضرب الوجه فإن الله خلق آدم على صورته. When you beat a person, do not hit his face, because Adam was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to his image. So in another narration, ala surat al-Rahman, according to the image of al-Rahman. So this one has another bab. But that shows how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfects the creation of human beings, perfects the creation of human beings. So يقول المؤلف هنا هو المنفرد بخلق جميع المخلوقات وبرأ بحكمته جميع البريات. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created all of the creation. المنفرد بخلق جميع المخلوقات. And he is alone in his creation. No partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in creating anyone. And we do create, but our creation is based on conversion. You convert something to something else. So even though sometimes we do the nisbah of creation to human being, but it doesn't mean the creation out of nothing without copying from somebody. What we are doing is to convert something which already exists into another thing. So that creation of ours is deficient. His is complete because he brought it out of nothing. There was no trees, and then Allah SWT brought trees. There was no human being, and then they exist. There was no heaven, Allah SWT brought them. So al-bariyat, kull al-makhluqat. Al-bariyat here is referring to the creation of Allah SWT. Allah SWT is the one who extracted them from whatever Allah SWT designed them. Allah SWT is the one who designed them in the way they are. And nothing goes out of the design of Allah SWT. And also the features that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the most accurate features, which is unique. And subhanAllah, you can see the sign of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his tawheed in the creation of the creation. Every jinn, you know, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed every jinn, you know, you see human being, you know that this is human being. You see animal, you know that this is animal. And this type, this is the animal that is called this and that. You can recognize each other, you know, from the other ones. And this shows tawheed, unity. Because if they are two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهِ لَفَسَدَتَا. You know, the heavens and the earth, if you have somebody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the creator, this structure and the nizam and the system that we have in them will never exist. So having them in the structure that we see, you know, you don't see human beings different from the other human beings, you know, whereby I have to tell you that this is human being. Yeah, we're different in the way we look, but you know that this is human being. This is human being. This is human being. Keeping that nature of human being in one design confirms the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone in doing whatever we see. وَحَسَّنَ خَلْقَهُ جَمِيعَ الْكَائِنَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he perfects his creation of all of the creation. The creation of everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it perfect. فَخَلَقَهَا وَأَبْدَعَهَا وَفَطَرَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created the creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it out of nothing without copying from somebody, because this is ibda'. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَدِيعُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah is the one who invented, who brought the creation of the heavens and the earth ala ghayri mithalin sabiq, without copying from anyone. Subhanallah. That's why when he talks about this, he was refuting those people who curse him. Who are they? The Christian and the Jews and the Mushrikeen. The Christian, they said, Allah has a child. And who is that child? Isa alayhi salam. Ta'ala Allahumma yaquluna uluwan kabira. The Jews, they said Allah has a child. Who is the child? Uzair. They said Uzair ibn Allah. Ta'ala Allahumma yaquluna uluwan kabira. The Mushrikun, they said Allah has a child. Who is that child? Angels. And they're worse actually than the Christian, because they said angels are the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are they worse? Because they said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has daughters. And at the same time, they don't agree with daughters. You know, if one of them has a daughter, what does he do? One of the two things. Either bury her alive or agree to keep her in a state of embarrassment and humiliation. Because they believe that having a woman or a daughter in the house is a deficiency. It's a kind of a curse and humility. You have a girl at home. So it is not a good news for you to tell him that he got a baby Go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ. You will see him hiding from people, from the evil of the bushra that somebody gave him. And then he will be thinking, أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَى هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التَّرَابِ. Is he going to keep this baby girl in a state of disrespect and humiliation in his house, having a girl? You know, I'm يَدُسُّهُ فِي التَّرَابِ. Or just go and bury her in. And this is who they are. But then at the same time, they claim that Allah has daughters. They claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has daughters. You know, you don't want a daughter, but you said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. You think that having a girl is deficiency. And then you say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has one. That's why I said theirs is worse. All of them are Ahlul Batil. And they're so bad in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but these ones are the worst. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَتُكْتَبُ شَهَدَتُهُ وَيُسْأَلُونَ. This testimony they are giving that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has daughters, and these daughters, they are the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write it down, and they will be questioned about that. Subhanallah. بِالْمُنَاسَبَةِ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although the hadith is weak, somehow somebody asked him, he says, Ya Rasulullah, he wants to know, عَلَى مَاذَا يَشْهَدْ. On what base is he going to give his shahada? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَرَى الشَّمْسِ. Do you see the sun? He said, yes. He said, فَعَلَى مِثْلِهَ فَشْهَدْ. You give only testimony on something that you see, you witness, like the sun. This hadith, although is weak, but the meaning is correct. Yeah, you only give your testimony and you witness something that you see the way you see the sun. When you have doubt, no matter how much they try to convince you to go and give your testimony, you tell them, I don't want, I can't. Yeah, because Allah says, سَتُكْتَبُ شَهَادَتُهُمْ وَيُسْأَلُونَ. So this type of sin, you know, is a curse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَشْتُمُنِ ibn Adam, وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَشْتُمُنِ وَيُكَذِّبُنِ ibn Adam, وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يُكَذِّبُنِ أَنْ يُكَذِّبَنِ. He says, the son of Adam is cursing me, and it is inappropriate for him to curse me. وَيُكَذِّبُنِ, and he is falsifying what I'm saying. He says, I'm lying. You know, he says, what I said, it is not true. Allah says, it is not appropriate for he to talk to me in this way. And then he says, فَأَمَّا شَتْمُهُ إِيَّايَ. His curse against me is when he says, I have a son. Subhanallah. He says, his curse against me when he says, I have a son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَدِيعُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He says, Allah is the inventor of the heavens and the earth. He created the heavens and the earth. Right? And he created them عَلَى غَيْرِ مِثَالٍ سَابِقٍ. You know, he's so powerful in the way he has the ability to create without copying from anyone, to bring something out of nothing. And what did he create? He said, As-samawat wal-ard. You know, la khalqu as-samawat wal-ard akbaru min khalqi an-nas. It's greater than the creation of human beings. And when we say samawat, we're not talking about the space. We're talking about the sama. You know, we're talking about the sama. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you take the earth, the universe, you know, universe here, I meant the space and the earth and all of these things, you know. You take them, all of them, and all of the galaxies and the stars and whatever, you know, you take them all, you know, they're telling us some of the millions of light years, yeah, between one to another. If you take all of them and put them in the first heaven, it will be like a ring in a desert. Subhanallah. You can imagine that. Nobody can comprehend these galaxies they are talking about. We cannot imagine how big they are. But these ones, if you take them all together and put them in the first heaven, they will be like a ring in the desert. You will not see them. And if you take the first heaven and put it in the second heaven, it will be like a ring in the desert. And there we go until you reach the heaven number 7. So as we always mention, wallahi, it will be a joke if a person tries to, you know, think and contemplate and reflect upon the size of the heaven number 7. It will be a joke. تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ كُلَّ مَذْهَبْ. And you can't. You cannot imagine. And this heaven number 7, if you take it and put it in the kursi of Allah, the heaven number 7 also will be gone. Where is it? You don't see it. Gone. It will sink inside that kursi. Subhanallah. And if you take the kursi, wal kursi mawdi'u al-qadamay. The sunnah mentioned to us that the kursi according to this interpretation of some of the companions, is the position of the feet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, you know, this mention itself, you know, tells you how great is our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just to know that this kursi, regardless of its size, is mawdi al-qadamayn. Billahi azza wa jal. And the kursi itself also, now I think by now we get lost. If you take the kursi itself and put it in the arsh, it will be disappeared, you know, completely. That's why Abdullah ibn Abbas or Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, "Wal arshu la yuqaddiru qadarahu illa Allah azza wa jal." He says, and the arsh of Allah, nobody can give the right estimate of the arsh except Allah. All of these are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari, Al-Musawwir. He make them in those beautiful ways. This arsh is so big in the way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created 8 angels to carry it. وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَيْنٍ ثَمَانِيَةً. You know, on the day of judgment, the arsh will be brought by 8 angels. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أُذِنَ لِي أَنْ أُحَدِّثَ عَمْ مَلَكٍ مِّنْ حَمَلَةِ الْعَرْشِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, permitted me. I got the permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to talk about an angel from the Hamalat al-Arsh. قَالَ رِجِلَاهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ السُّفْلَى. Subhanallah. His feet started from the lowest part of the earth. وَعَلَى قَرْنِهِ أو على رأسه الأرش. يعني الرواية that says القرن has some issues. So على رأسه الأرش. And his head is holding the arsh. And you know the arsh is beyond the heavens. Where does it exist? Allahu A'lam. You know. How far the distance between the arsh of Allah and the heavens? Allahu A'lam. Allahu A'lam. That angel starting from the lowest part of the earth reaches the beyond the heavens. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَبَيْنَ عَاتِقِهِ وَشَحْمَةِ أُذْنِهِ خَفَقَانُ الطَّيْرِ 700 عَامٍ. He says, and between his shoulder and his ears, you know, from here until here. You know? Even Antoine goes in a few seconds, it will reach. But this one, if you are to travel, you as a human being, you travel from here. Before you reach his ears, you spend 700 years. Subhanallah. 700 years. And this angel is always saying, Subhanaka, haythu kunt. Glory be to you, Ya Allah, wherever you are. Subhanallah. Subhanaka, haythu kunt. Glory be to you, Ya Allah, wherever you are. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wants you to understand who is He, He said, Dhul Arsh. You know, Dhul Arsh means the creator of the Arsh. If you know what is Arsh, the one who created the Arsh. It's enough. No need to add anything. You know what is Arsh? The one who created the Arsh. Allah says, Badi'u samawati wal ard, anna yakun lahu walad. How is it possible for somebody who invented the heavens and the earth and everything that is inside or outside or beyond? Allah created everything. He says, "Anna yakun lahu walad." Why do you have a child? Why do we have a child? Zinatul hayat ad-dunya. It's good to have children going around you. You know, it'll make you happy. You know, children are the flowers and the beauty in the house. You, the one who is having good tarbiyah with his kids, will understand that children are ni'mah in the house. They really help you to stay away from your stress. Yeah. You go to the work, you come back. If you're a good father, you know, you come back home. Children are one of the best sources of what we call relief. If you give them good tarbiyah. If you give them the wrong tarbiyah, they will add to your headache. You know? You'd be like the example of the kuffar. They will make you as an example that they will give people not to marry. Because when children come, they might be like this. That's number one. Number two, you have children for what? So that in the future, you don't know what will happen. Maybe you might need them. You need somebody to help you when you become old. Yeah. So you have a child. Why? Because you don't know what will happen in the future. So you need somebody to help you. So you're taking precaution. You know? In other words, you are taking precaution. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَّا كُنْ لَهُ وَلَدْ وَلَمْ تَكُنْ لَهُ صَاحِبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inappropriate for him to have a sahiba, a wife. وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ And he created everything, you know. Somebody who has the capacity and ability to create everything, what does he need, you know, in the future or in the present? You know? وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ And he knows everything. And what makes it more beautiful is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he is refuting those criminals who said he was lying. You remember in the hadith? He said, وَيَكَذِّبُنُ بِنِ Adam. The son of Adam is saying that I am lying, denying what I said to be the truth. And he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمَّا تَكْذِبُهُ إِيَّايَ فَقَوْلُهُ إِنِّي لَا أَبْعَثُهُ بَعْدَ أَنْ يَمُوتِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ الْبَارِي أَزَّوْجَلِ When he says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have the ability to bring him back after he caused him to die. SubhanAllah, in Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuted these guys. He says, وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقًا Allahu Akbar. Al-Hanafi in Sharh al-Tahawiyyah, he says, if you stop at the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَنَسِيَ خَلْقًا it is enough to refute them. This guy is saying that Allah cannot bring him back. He cannot bring him back. You know, how is it possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring him back after he dies? Allah says, look at him, giving us all kinds of evil examples, you know, and amthila, that we cannot, you know, have the ability to bring him back. Allah says, وَنَسِيَ خَلْقًا قَالَ مَنْ يُحِي الْإِذَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ After the bones have decomposed, who has the ability to bring them back? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَسِيَ خَلْقًا He forgot the way he was created. Which one is more difficult? To us, not to Allah, because to Allah there is nothing difficult. You get it? Which one is more difficult? To initiate something from nothing or to modify something or to bring something out of something? Of course, the first one. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the same thing. You know, if he reflects upon the past, he understands that if something is difficult, that one should be tougher. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ability to do it. That means he should have the ability to do the easiest one. That's why he says, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ The creation of the heavens, the earth, the arsh, the humankind, and everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he wants them to happen, he just say to them, كُنْ فَيَكُونَ Just say to them, كُنْ, and then they will take place. قَالَ وَأَبْدَعْهَا وَفَطَرَهَا فِي الْوَقْتِ الْمُنَاسِبِ لَهَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them into existence at the most appropriate time for everything. You Allah. You see, everything exists, right? Sometimes you wish you exist in some time that passed. The companion said, nobody should wish to be in existence at the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it absent from him. But there are some people who say, oh, I wish we were in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, just say Alhamdulillah. Allah created you and he makes you Muslim. قَدْ عَاشَ قَوْمٌ مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَدَخَلُوا النَّارِ There are some people who lived with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and they went to hell. You don't know which category, you know, at that time, you know, iman is not easy. It's very tough. You don't know whether you will be able to accept or you will be rejecting. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you afterwards and grant you iman, you should say, Alhamdulillah. Allahumma lak alhamd. Just do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do. That's more than enough. More than enough, wallahi. Everyone was brought by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time which is the most appropriate time for him to exist. It's just up to us to grab the opportunity. Some of us comes in the time of the fitan. That's the most appropriate time for us to exist at that time because there is a wisdom in our creation at that time. We just have to understand the nature of the time we're living and do our best to attain the success in it. You see, some people, they will get the reward, the amount of the reward, which is equivalent to the reward of 50 companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam among the shuhada. Even they themselves also, they become surprised. They said, Ya Rasulullah, you're talking about them or about us? He said, about you. I was so surprised. The people will come after us and they will be given the reward of 50 of us? He said, yes. Because they live in the days of hardship. You know, we believe that he's talking about our time. It's not easy to hold upon your religion. Because this is the time the scholars long ago mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was intending when he says inna min waraikum ayyamu ayyam as-sabr, the days of patience are going to come afterwards. The one who is holding upon his religion, kalqabid ala al-jamr, is similar to somebody who is holding upon a piece of fire. Long ago, Shatibi in his Shatibiyah, he was saying, وَهَذَا زَمَانُ الصَّبْرِ مَلَّكَ بِالَّتِي كَقَبْدٍ عَلَى جَمْرٍ فَتَنْجُو مِنَ الْبَلَى. You know, Imam Shatibi, when was he? 500 years after the Hijrah? You know, now try and see how many years now. But since then he was saying, this is the time the Prophet ﷺ was talking about the days of patience. Yeah, Imam Dhahabi, when he was talking about some of the Asharat al-Sa'ah, he says, Subhanallah, we are living in the time of this Asharat min Asharat al-Sa'ah, Qabd al-Ilm. He says, now the scholars that left, you know, who are using the knowledge, they are very qaleel. You know, in his time, you know, Zahibi was a student of Shaykh al-Islam in Taymiyyah. He was saying the real scholars who are practicing the knowledge, the real scholars in Islam, they are very qaleel. Go and see the way he belittled the amount, you know. He says, very little we have. Let him come to our time, you know, and see the innovation in fatwa, creativity, mashallah, you know. A person who doesn't know how he write his name, but he's the mufti in the ummah, talking on our behalf. Allah, whoever knows how to write, never study, but he is now who's talking on our behalf. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Shaykh said, فَخَلَقَهَا وَأَبْدَأَهَا وَفَطَرَهَا فِي الْوَقْتِ الْمُنَاسِبِ لَهَا وَقَدَّرَ خَلْقَهَا أَحْسَنَ تَقَدِيرٌ وَصَنَأَهَا أَحْسَنَ أَتْقَنَ صُنَعٍ. We talk about all of these part. وَهَدَاهَا لِمَصَالِحَا. Allah, Allah SWT brought us in the best form of creation, at the best time, which is the most appropriate time for us to exist, and that wasn't enough. وَهَدَانَا لِمَصَالِحِنَا. Allah guided us to what is beneficial to us. Allah says, وَهَدَيْنَهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. What is Najdain? طَرِيقَ الْخَيْرِ وَطَرِيقَ الشَّرِ. Allah created us and He guided us towards a good way, and He taught us what is bad so that we can avoid falling into the problem. Wallahi, this is ni'mah in itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alladhi a'ata kulla shay'in khalqahu thumma hada. Wallahi, this is very, very big ni'mah. Grant you the best creation and feed you with aql and eyesight and ears. Again, these are the most important senses that you have. The heart leading them, followed by the ears, and then the eyes. This is how you should categorize them in terms of importance. In terms of importance, the heart is the best. It's the most important thing in you. Followed by your ears. Yeah. Your ears is better than the eyesight. Yeah, that's why the scholars said in Surah to Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about the eyesight and the ears. He connected the eyesight with just the eyesight, seeing things. But the ears, when He talks about it, He connected it with the aql. He connected with aql. Ibn Qutaybah says this shows that ears is more important than the eyes, because it is connected with the aql. And that's why even in you, which one is awake first? Ears. When you sleep, the first thing that sleeps in you is your ears. Allah says, فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِهِمْ أَذَانِهِمْ. Yeah, He says, we block their ears. They sleep for 300 and your ears has to be blocked first, and then the eyes will go after that. The real sleep in your ears have to be closed first. And when you wake up, the first thing that wakes up is the ears. The ears wakes up first, and then the eyes will follow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you from the womb of your mothers. لا تعلمون شيئا. You don't know anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you from the womb of your mothers. You don't have anything. You don't know knowledge. Even how to drink the milk. You come and tell your mother, give me some. Never. She has to keep on putting the child, you know, to the place until he understands naturally that he has to open his mouth. You know, and sometimes she has to bring some to put so that he will understand that, yeah, this part of the body is supposed to be open. Naturally, he will do, and then khalas, he become an expert. But at first, he doesn't know. Allah says, فَجَعَلْ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you hearing and the seeing. And I guess if I'm not mistaken, you know, this one I have to check. Even the child, the first thing that opens in the child is the ears, and then the eyes. Yeah. They see, but at the first, they said they see, and I don't know how to believe in that, but they said they just see things going without being able to recognize things that much properly when they're very, very fresh. Yeah. The ears functioned first. So all of these are ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that you will be able to understand things and reflect upon them. So Allah created us, thumma hada, and then He guided us. He showed us what is right and what is wrong, what is beneficial and what is harmful. Yeah, this is a very great ni'mah, which makes it different from the animals. وَأَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ اللَّائِقَ بِهِ ثُمَّ هَدَى كُلَّ مَخْلُوقٍ لِمَا هُيِّئَ وَخُلِقَ لَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not let us remain sudan. أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُتْرَكَ سُدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that a person believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will just create him and then let him just remain like this. Sudan means لا يُمر ولا ينهى. No command. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not tell him what to do and what not to do. Allah never designed the creation like that. قَالَ فَالْخَالِقُ هُوَ الْمُقْتَدِرُ لِلْأَشْيَاءِ عَلَى مُقْتَدَى حِكْمَتِهِ وَالْبَارِئُ الْمُوجِدُ لَهَا بَعْدَ الْعَدَمِ. So Al-Khaliq is the one who has the ability and the power to bring everything. عَلَى مُقْتَدَى حِكْمَتِهِ, according to his wisdom. What is hikmah? I got it, but it's incomplete. Al-hikmah wada al-shay fi mahallihi. You are right. Only one al-munasib fi mahallihi al-sahih. Because if you say wada al-shay fi mahallihi, yakhtalif. Anta qad tara hada mahalluhu wa ana la ara an hada. فذلك, that's why they said al-hikmah, wisdom, is to put things in their proper place. Their proper place, mahalluhu al-sahih. The most accurate place which is designed for them, that's wisdom. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كُلُّ أَفْعَالِهِ مَصْحُوبَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. There is nothing which is done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without having hikmah, according to the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, خِلَافًا لِمَنْ خَالَفَهُمْ مِنَ النَّاسِ. And contrary to those who went against the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, who believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have wisdom. And that's abath. To say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created without wisdom, that's abath, that's plain game. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create, there is a wisdom behind that. Allah doesn't create coincidentally. That is a wisdom. There is a reason why the creation are in the way we see them. وَالْبَارِئُ الْمُوجِدُ لَهَا بَعْدَ الْعَدَمِ. And the one who invented them and brought them after, they were not there. You know, بَعْدَ الْعَدَمِ means they were not there before, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them. وَالْمُصَوِّرُ أي المخلوقات والكائنات كيف شاء. يعني مصور means the one who give images to all of the creation in the way he wants. فالبارئ المصور فيهما كما قال ابن القيم في تفسير معنى اسم الخالق قال فالله عز وجل إذا أراد خلق شيء قدره بعلمه وحكمته ثم برأه أي أوجده وفلق ما قدر في السورة التي شاء وَأَرَادَهَا سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. Ibn al-Qayyim says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever he wants to create something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decree, you know, and design this creation based on what? Knowledge and wisdom. Yeah, that's why the name al-Khaliq contains what? Knowledge. It contains also the sifa of al-Quwwah wal-Qudra, you know. Because he cannot be al-Khaliq if he doesn't have knowledge. Cannot be al-Khaliq if he doesn't have power and ability. ثُمَّ بَرَأَهُ أَيْ أَوْجَدَهُ وَفَلَقَ مَقَدَّرَ فِي الصُّورَةِ. So the taqdeer is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that he's going to create him in this way. Right? Specific way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. based on his hikmah and knowledge. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it into existence according to an image. That's al-bari al-musawwir. According to a specific image. So the khalq will be muqaddar by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create the thing and brought it into existence after it was absent, according to the image Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to create it, upon. وَقَالَ ابْنُ كَثِيرٍ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ الْخَلْقُ التَّقْدِيرُ وَالْبَرْءُ هُوَ الْفَرْيُ وَهُوَ التَّنْفِيذُ وَإِبْرَازُ مَا قَدَّرَهُ وَقَرَّرَهُ إِلَى الْوُجُودِ وَلَيْسَ كُلُّ مَنْ قَدَّرَ شَيْئًا وَرَتَّبَهُ يَقْدِرُ عَلَى تَنْفِيذِهِ وَإِيجَادِهِ سُوَى اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. Ibn Kathir says, Al-Khalq huwa taqdeer. Taqdeer means to fix something upon a measure, to measure and to decree and to design. Wal-bar'u huwa al-fari'u wa huwa al-tanfiz is the execution. You know, you can have a plan. So that the first one, taqdeer, is a plan. Yeah, a proper plan. You can have that plan. But then now, when it comes to the execution, nobody can do this all the time except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might have the plan, but to execute the plan, you know, with certainty that you're going to do it, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this capacity. So he says the meaning of al-khaliq al-bari' al-musawwir, it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who decreed the creation according to a design. And he has the power and the ability to execute that plan that he has before, which is a taqdeer, and then he will bring that taqdeer out to existence. Ibn Kathir says, وَلَيْسَ كُلُّ مَنْ قَدَّرَ شَيْئًا وَرَتَّبَهُ. And not everyone who has the ability to plan something and to design it, you know, according to the way he wants it. And that this tartib means is part of the plan. You get it? Not the creation itself, not the making itself, just part of the plan. He arranged it, he organized the plan in the way he wants. يَقْدِرُ عَلَىٰ تَنْفِيذِهِ وَإِيجَادِهِ سِوَى اللَّهِ. And at the same time, he has the ability to execute that plan with certainty, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the only one who can do the khalq, which is the taqdeer, and he is also al-bari, the one who has the power to bring it according to an image that is based on that previous plan. Al-khaliqu, al-bari'u, al-musawwir. الَّذِي إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ عَلَى الصِّفَةِ الَّتِي يُرِيدُ وَالْمُصَوِّرُ والصورة التي يختار. الخالق والبارئ والمصور means he is the one, whenever he wants to create something, he just say to it, كن فيكون. يكون على أي شيء. على الصورة التي اختارها. According to the image Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثم أنشأناه خلقا آخر. Allah, the fetus in the womb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and then we will turn it into another creation, another creature. Al-Khaliq al-Bari' al-Musawwir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fi ayyi suratin ma sha'a rakkabak. Yeah, fi ayyi suratin ma sha'a rakkabak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ability and the power to put the creation of human beings in any image he wants. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ الْمُصَوِّرُ أَيَ الَّذِي يُنَفِّذُ مَا يُرِيدُ إِيجَادُهُ عَلَى الصِّفَةِ الَّتِي يُرِيدُهَا. The one who executes whatever he wants to bring into existence according to whatever image he wants to create it, to create him upon. قال فتفسير الخلق هنا بالتقدير ينتظم به ذكر هذه الأسماء الثلاثة بهذا الترتيب الوارد في الآية. فالخلق أولا هو تقدير فالخلق أولا وهو تقدير ووجود المخلوقات ثم ثم برأه وهو إيجاده من العدم ثم جعله بالصورة التي شاءها سبحانه وتعالى. So he says, translating al-khalq with taqdeer, a plan, measuring, you know, according to the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibn al-Qayyim says, Shaykh Abdul Razak says, this is the most appropriate tafsir to be given to this word al-khalq, so that it will go in line with the rest of the asma that comes after that. Al-khalq, al-bari, al-musawwir. So he does the taqdeer, the plan is there, the decree is there, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it out according to his own plan, the previous plan, in whatever image Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to come out. Do you get the idea, right? So he planned, executes the plan according to the image that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bring out. Fi ayyi suratin ma sha'a rakkaba. Qala Allah ta'ala, wa laqad khalaqnakum thumma sawwarnakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we created you and then we designed your image according to whatever you see. So which one comes first? Al-khalq. Thumma ish. Al-bar. La. Al-bari. Al-khalq. Al-bari. And then al-taswir. Ayna. Thumma al-taswir. Kama anna al-khalq awwalan. Thumma al-bari. You know, al-khalq comes first and then al-bari. So if you have in the place where the al-bari is not being mentioned, then al-taswir will be the replacement. But you don't have the taswir and then the khalq. Khalq comes first because it is based on a taqdeer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها. إن ذلك على الله يسير. Whatever calamity that happens to the people in this life of ours, or whatever calamity that takes place, which is natural disasters, whatever we see of calamity that is taking place in this dunya of ours, أو في أنفسنا, or in ourselves, the musibah that happened to us, it is already written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does this give us some comfort and relief? You Allah, I should. Yeah, I worry so much when the musibah happened. You worry so much. They worry so much. Everyone is worried. Why? Because we don't understand this correctly. If you understand this correctly, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is making a decision, you know, concerning whatever is going on in this life, any musibah that you see, it is already written that is going to happen. It might be because of you, it might be because of others, but there is a cause for any musibah, but Allah is the one who brought it at the time you see it. So since that is the one who planned for this, and it happens according to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why do you worry so much and you crumble? Why don't you go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for the solution? Yeah, that's why a believer never gets stressed and depressed because of the Masa'ib. Although, subhanAllah, we fail all the time. You know? And this is who we are. I come and advise you, oh, don't be, Adam, don't do that. Yusuf, don't do that. I tell you, no, be patient. But tomorrow, if I'm going to be affected, then I need somebody to come to me and tell me, please be patient. These are human beings. Tomorrow, he's the one who is saying, relax, yaakhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, you know? I'm supposed to apply that also on myself, to be like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the musibah happens to him, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried, and he shed tears. And what did he say after that? He says, "Inna wallahi bi firaqika ya Ibrahim la mahzunun." He says, "Ya wallahi," he said, "Ya Ibrahim, wallahi, we are very sad. We are saddened by, losing you. Yeah, we are very sad." You get it? And then he says, وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يَرْضِ الرَّبِّ. But we will never say anything except that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet he combined between how many ibadat? Two. You get it? One of the scholars, when his son died, he laughed. He was laughing. Some other scholars were praising him. MashaAllah, this is the peak of ridha. بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. However, Ibn Taymiyyah has different approach, which we support Ibn Taymiyyah in that. Because if you see a person, his family member, his wife died. Yeah, maybe your wife will... Would he laugh or he will... Okay, I'm just kidding. Let's say you see a person, his son died, his wife died. You know, his father died, and he sit down and laugh. What do you think about his brain? Majnun. we will be sitting with him actually to comfort him so much, because maybe the impact of the death took his aql. Right, that's very natural. How is it possible that this sheikh is praising the person who is laughing because he lost his child? And he's even saying that, yeah, this is the peak of ridha, biqada illah. Ibn Taymiyyah says, he says, unfortunately, this is very wrong. Very wrong. He says, Daqa sadruhu. His chest is so small, in a way it cannot accommodate two ibadat. Ibadat al-ridha and ibadat al-rahmah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his chest is so big, it can accommodate both. That's why he shed tears. He says, we are really sad that we're going to lose you. But at the same time, we don't say anything except that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, that's what we should do. Yeah, you accept the musibah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't show complaint, but at the same time, also you are a human being. What Allah doesn't want is for you to complain against Him. You know, to complain against Allah, to worry so much as if dunya finished after you losing this person. Even some people, they make dua against themselves. That means we are in trouble. And you know what happens after that? Angels are there in the house. They will say, Allahumma ameen. Whatever dua you make, when somebody dies, angels were sent to that house. You say good, they will say ameen. You say bad, they will say ameen. So whatever dua you make against yourself, angels will say ameen. Allah, don't be surprised after that, and you will be facing problems after problem, because you're the one who invited this to yourself. Ya akhi, Allah is always there. So knowing about this fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of everything gives you relief. To understand that Allah is the one who is making the decree. Whatever happens here in this life or in yourself, there is a wisdom behind that. You should go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for the solution and relax. And for the believers, it's always good. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا. Before the creation, according to an interpretation, before the creation of that soul, this musibah is already been written. Or the musibah itself, or the earth itself, before the creation of the earth or whatever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already wrote whatever will take place in this life 50,000 years before the creation of the universe. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. This is very simple to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing that difficult in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala wal bariyatu humul khaliqa wa qad khalaqahumullahu faja'ala minhumul kafir wa minhumul mu'min kama qala subhanahu wa ta'ala huwa alladhi khalaqakum faminkum kafirun wa minkum mu'min wallahu bima ta'maluna basir. Sheikh said wal bariyah. You know, khayru al-bariya, sharru al-bariya. What is bariya? Bariya is the khaliqa. They are the khaliqa, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them, and He made among them a kafir, and some of them are mu'minin. Right? Some of them are kafir, and some of them are the believers. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَلَى هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you, and He made some of you kuffar, and some of you mu'minin. Wallahu bima ta'amaluna basir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees whatever everyone is doing. This having kuffar among us is taqdeer kawni. Qadar kawni lillahi azza wa jal. That there are people who will choose kufr. Qaddarahu Allahu azza wa jal qadaran kawniyan. That there is going to be some people who will choose to become kuffar. Not Allah forcing them to accept kufr. But He let it happen. He doesn't like it, but He let it happen. Because la yakun fi mulkihi illa ma. Mayurid. They want to choose that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let them choose that. That's up to them. But He told them he doesn't like kufr. Yeah, that's why responsible on the day of judgment, because this is their choice. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never forced somebody to choose what they are. They are choosing. كَمَا تَقُولُ الْجَبَرِيَّةِ فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْهُمْ مُؤْمِنًا مُطِيئًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. The good one amongst them, you know, the believers and the good one amongst them, they are called خَيْرُ. Al-Bariyah. These are the best among the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْهُمْ مُشْرِكًا كَافِرًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. And the kuffar amongst them, these are the worst amongst the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. Allah says, the one who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, from the أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. Who are the أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ? Yahud and Nasara. Yahud and Nasara. They still exist. Yeah, although there are some who don't believe that Ahlul Kitab exists, but they still exist. The Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ confirmed that these ones will be with us until the day of judgment. Wal Mushrikeena. And the Mushrikun, the idol worshippers. Nowadays, I think they are all idol worshippers. في نار جهنم. All of them will be going to hell. خالدين فيها, and they will remain inside hell forever and ever. أولئك هم شر البرية. These are the words amongst the creation of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا يسمع بي يهودي ولا نصراني ثم يموت ولم يؤمن بالذي أرسلت به إلا كان من أهل النار. There will be no Jew or Christian that will hear about me and then he let himself leave this life without accepting me, except that he will become amongst the people of hell. No apology, no compromise. This is the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either you take it or you leave it. Yeah, because there are some who think that kafir also go to paradise. It depends on how good he is to others. You know, he is good to everyone, not to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created him. And as if we are the one who are distributing the Jannah. The one who has the Jannah says he will not put anyone except who believes in him. Right? So it's a deviation for a person to come out and say kuffar also are going to Jannah. وَمَنْ كَانَ كَافِرًا مُشْرِكًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. The righteous people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they act righteously, they are the best among the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. جَزَاؤُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ رَبَّهُ. Allah says the compensation, you know, the reward that he will be given these type of people who believe in him and act righteously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Jannatu Adin, that we be given Jannah. Jannatu Adin is a type of Jannah. Tajri min tahtiha al-anhar, you know, there will be rivers under that Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them. Khalidina fiha, and they will remain in Jannah forever, abadan. This is one of the with Jannah there are so many places, but I want the Huffaz to tell us how many places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned hell and he says khalidina fiha abada, with the word abadan. Khalidina fiha, you have a lot, but with the word abadan, how many places, ayyuhal Huffaz, how many places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned hell and he says khalidina fiha abada? Okay, we hear that in the question and answer time. Khalidina fiha abada. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they will be in Jannah abadan. Abada means no end, right? Forever. Radiallahu anhum wa radhu anhu. This is more beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. And they are also pleased with Allah. You know, in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the believers, do you want something else? They will say, yeah, Allah, what else do you give us? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them, I'm going to place on you my ridha, my pleasure. I will never be angry with you forever. Subhanallah. This is the greatest ni'mah they got in Jannah. Apart from looking at his face, there's the greatest ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never be angry with them. So he says, radiallahu anhu maradu an dhalika liman khashiya rabbah. This beautiful and excellent reward is only given to somebody who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I guess this is the best place to stop. Bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla. Next, thus we will continue from where we start, inshallah. Allah grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. إنه بكل جميل كفيل سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
ليس سؤال لكن وصور بأحكامه أظنه وحسن خلقه إضافة.
I skip that one.
قرأته حسن
خلقه. وحسن خلقه. نعم كلاهما صحيح. نعم. That is okay. Allahumma ameen.
Question by Sister Lubna. Question by another sister. We are given money by a certain government for our kids, but they give it to me as their mother. Should that be added in my zakat calculation as well?
The money belongs to who?
The money is being given by the government. For the kids.
For the kids. Yeah. This is kids' money, not her money. This is children's money. She can add it to her zakah when she owns that money. If she intended the money to be her money, then she has to add it. If not, then this is their money. She has to wait for it to reach the zakah, the nisab first, and then she gives the zakah for them. So she gives the zakah for her own money and the zakah for the children's money. If the money reaches the nisab, and hal alayhi al-hawl. You know.
Next question is my sister.
The hadith which says that it is permissible for a woman to travel alone on a journey which takes half a day or a full day, like going from one country to another without a mahram. How do I, as an international student, deal with this situation?
It remains in the way it is, that hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any sister who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter, she shouldn't travel without having the mahram. It remains in the way it is. Whether we are students or we're not, a person should observe as much as he can. Except if it is not necessity, then necessity has its own hukum, inshallah. Only these ones. Ah, yes.
When we started the dars, we mentioned the starting part of Allah creating man in the image of Ar-Rahman.
Why do you bring me back to that one, Zahid? Okay, go ahead.
How do we understand it without doing that?
We understand it in a very simple way. I like the approach of Ibn Uthaymeen when he says "shagabum or shagibum," because there is a very big debate among the scholars of hadith whether that hadith is authentic or not. The hadith is authentic, but that additional, you know, part of it, is it authentic or not? The one that says "Ala Surat al-Rahman." So different interpretation. The hadith that says "Inna Allah khalaqa Adam ala surati," Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam according to his image. Whose image? That's the question. Whose image? So many scholars said "ala surati Adam." Khalaqa Adam ala surati Adam. The linguists, those people of the language, will say, "What kind of language is this? Zahid is created according to the image of Zahid." What is that? We don't understand anything. According to the image of his father, according to the image of his brother, according to the image of the president of the country, you know, something like that. But you cannot just take the damir and take it back to the owner of the damir. كيف هذا?
We can. Yeah. If someone says this is like a blueprint or something that they designed and they created based on that.
Somebody says, I don't get that.
If you have like a plan for something, then you build something based on that. So can't the same argument be used here?
No, in that one, la yastaqim. You know, it's rakik. Logatan, according to the language, is very rakik. I said, Inna Allah khalaqa Adam ala surati Adam. What is that? You know? Khalaqa Adam ala surati Adam. What does it mean? It doesn't have any meaning. But ala surat al-shakhs al-akhar, then it will make a meaning, it will make sense. But this one doesn't make sense. That's why they needed ta'wil here. When they said khalaq Adam ala surat Adam, they have to do ta'wil. Because they know that even children will be asking, what do you mean ala surat Adam? You know? So then they will tell you, ala surat Adam here means sami'an, basiran, you know. Some of them said, ala surat Adam means the way we see Adam, this is how he was created. You know, this image doesn't change. You know, Adam lived how many years? But the same thing. You see, the way you see him, this is how exactly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him. He doesn't change. Do you get the idea? Many ta'wila, this one saying that. Some of them said, no need to go for this. That narration is munkar. Sheikh Nasiruddin Albani kicked that ziyada out. He says it doesn't go because he says, طوله ستون ذراعا. How can you say according to the image of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then the size is sittuna dhira'a? You see, that means that additional text is munkar. So he rejected that narration. Accepted the rest, but this part he said is wrong. The one that says ala surat al-Rahman. Because the one that says ala surat al-Rahman, then it destroyed that understanding, the one that says ala surat Adam. This one says ala surat al-Rahman. And Abdurrahman Tuwajri, one of these scholars of hadith, says no. And he did his own research and established the sanad. He said there is no nakara in it. It is okay. Well, I love the manhaj of Ibn Uthaymeen. Very simple, gentle, nice, easy. He says, shagab al-mushagibun. The troublemakers made trouble. Mushagibun are troublemakers. See, troublemakers, as usual, they make trouble also concerning this matter. They make it big issue. This one is saying that. He says, عندنا ميزان. We have a ميزان in Islam الذي نزن به باب الأسماء والصفات. We have a measurement in Islam that we weigh anything that comes related to أسماء الله وصفاته. What is that ميزان? ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. He says it's very simple. Just إن الله خلق آدم على صورته والله ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. That's what we did with every صفة. Allah create Adam على صورته على سورة الرحمن. We just mention like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam according to his own image. And then we say, وَاللَّهُ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. No addition, no subtraction. We just leave it like that. Because that's what we do with all of the sifat. If you go back to those interpretation, we are going gradually to talking about kayfiyya. How these things are. And we say when it comes to the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't go for that. So rather than canceling the hadith, you know, and the hadith might be, you know, authentic, we just accept the hadith if it is authentic, and then we just apply the same concept of Asma'ullahi wa Sifati, the same principle, to see whether it worked or not. And it's very simple. You know, Allahu khalaqa Adam ala surati ar-Rahman, full stop. Wallahu laysa kamithlihi shay'un wa huwa as-sami'ul basir. We don't add, we don't subtract. We say Rasul, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha darabta fala tadrib wajha." And subhanAllah, even if you look at some of the interpretations, I mean some of the narrations, they are actually refuting that interpretation. Because he says, "Inna Allah khalaqa Adam ala suratihi." He says, "Idha darabta fala tadrib wajha." When you hit somebody, don't hit his face. Fa inna Allah khalaqa Adam ala suratihi. And it doesn't make that much sense. Just because the image is like the image of Adam, then touch. You know, you sense that it's not about Adam, it's about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam ala suratihi, he says. He says, don't hit the face. Wallahu khalaqa, because inna Allah khalaqa Adam ala suratihi. But are we supposed to go deeper, more than this? No. In every sifa, we're just supposed to restrict ourselves to what we are told. With no explanation, we just leave it like that. You know. That's tafweed, 100% tafweed. And then we are done. No more clash, no more fighting, no more anything. Yeah. That's why I like his word when he says, Shagab al Mushagibuni.
Sheikh, Jazakumullah khairan. Scientists, they say that the universe, you know, they say it's like in light years, 7 million of light years.
Yeah.
But now in the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud,
I like science.
He says 500. Masirati khamsati 500 years between each heaven. So we take the...
Which speed?
Allah,
yeah. That's why we just leave it like that. So that we will not say the science is lying. And also, at the same time, we keep, because he doesn't mention which speed. Could be the speed of light or something beyond the light. Because angels have their own speed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the heaven numbers 7, you know, actually beyond that. And he came back as Sajid Muntah. And he came back, even some the part of the history mentioned that the Sarir is still warm. It's like he just for a few seconds and go and come back, you know. And it's just like that. He went and he came back very quickly. He left Musa down there on the earth praying. And he met him in the heaven number 6. Sheikh Atiyah Mahmoud Salim says, if you couldn't comprehend, you know, how fast is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what would you say about Musa? Because he left him there praying. And you know, the Salat al-Anbiya is not like ours, Ferrari Imam, you know. They really pray. He finished his prayer and they met him there. Yeah. Because when he see him praying here, that means this is his soul praying here. And he saw him there. So speed, we don't know which speed. You know, so we just leave it like that. We accept what they say. We say, inshallah, probably it's true. Inshallah. These are all probabilities because they never went to this place. Yeah. So we just say, inshallah, it's true. Yeah, because it adds to this understanding how great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. Yeah. So don't cancel it. We love talking about. Yeah, but at the same time, we say that one also is correct. But we don't know which speed is that.
JazakAllah khairan. Another question, Sheikh. There is a book by Abu Sheikh Al-Asbahani. He
Kitab al-Azama.
Yeah.
Do you recommend it?
It's Kitab
al-Azama.
I did not read it. Yeah. If I go through it, then I can recommend it, but I did not read it. Yeah. And I won't tell you, go, and then tomorrow when you get something, you come and say, yeah, he's the one who tell me.
Yeah.
Allahumma ameen. هذا لقي سؤالان.
سؤالان.
Okay.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخ. أحسن الله عليك في الدنيا والآخرة. Should one put together the cash and gold they have and then give zakah if they reach the nisab, or should the nisab be from gold be calculated separately from the cash?
What is the gold is for? What, just the gold he has for at home? Yeah. If it is the gold he has at home, then he combined between both gold and the cash he has, you know, and then give the zakat of both of them. However, gold and silver cannot be combined. Each one of them has to be dealt with separately, inshallah.
During wudu, for washing the hands in the beginning, so do we wash one the right hand three times or just right and left?
Both of them. Yeah, when you wash in the hands in the wudu, you put both of the hands and wash them three times. Both three, not this one three and this one three. That's six. Yeah, you wash. You take water, wash like this. Yeah, that's one. Go again. That's two. Yeah, you do that. That's three. That's it. Yeah, you go to the mouth. Also the same thing. Take water. Put some in the mouth. Some in the nose. At the same time, if you put the mouth and then throw away, take another one, mouth only, take another one, that's three, and then go to the nose all together, then it will become six. And you're supposed to do it three times for both of them. Ibn Qayyim says there is nowhere in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ where he ever washed the nose and the mouth separately. Although some scholars said, try to bring some, but I couldn't see any dalil, you know, stronger than what Ibn Qayyim is mentioning, except Ta'wilat. So his statement is very strong. It's better to follow. You wash both of them three times, you know. And the other thing also that should be washed together is the head and the ears. Yeah, usually we wipe the hair, and then we take another water for the ears. Yeah, that's also wrong. Yeah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-udhunani min al-ra'si. He said, the two ears are part of the head. Allah says, Wamsahu bi ru'usikum. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the ears are part of the ra's. So he says, wipe your head, that's meaning together with the ears.
What are the signs of a sound heart?
Sound heart, the one that obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and has tawheed, respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his right, you know, the one that is having iman and righteousness, you know. You get the idea? That's the sign of the sound heart. Yeah, the one that knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the tawheed and practice righteous deed, you know.
One more question.
Do we give zakat for our gold, jewelry, used or not used?
You give the zakat when the gold reaches the nisab, 85 grams, and it stayed with you for 1 year. Then you give the zakat from your own money. Just get the value and give from the money. There are some scholars who says if you don't have the money, then you have to sell it. Sell it and get the money. Or cut it into pieces and give the amount. By then, if you give the amount, then you have less than zakah, yeah, less than nisab. Then you get rid of giving the zakah every year. However, wallahu alam, it might be a bit tough, yeah, for the sisters, you know, to tell how to sell the gold. Yeah, wallahu alam, that might be one of the justification for delaying the zakah until the time she get the money and then she give the zakah. Inshallah.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته